Hi, streamers. Well, isn't this fun? I recorded an entire episode, this very episode, but it didn't save. Isn't that exciting? So now it is 11:26 p.m. and I'm going to attempt to re-record it. But right now I'm going to pause so I could check if this is recording. Woo, what a night. What a night. So let me see the best I can do now that I'm recording the same thing twice. Let's get into the Valley, the show on Bravo. When it was announced, I was not into it. I didn't care to watch Kristen. I didn't care to watch Jax. And that's because I forgot that Kristen is really good TV and Jax is always entertaining TV. So let's get this started. The show opens with Brittany putting down her son Cruz for a nap. Cruz is so gorgeous. That is such a cute little boy. He doesn't have dark eyes like his mom. He has light eyes like his dad, and he doesn't have dark hair like both of his parents. Maybe he gets his light hair from someone else, but Cruz is so gorgeous. That little boy is just—he's such a cookie. How cute is he? They made the cutest son. So, anyways, we see that Jax is in the kitchen and he is counting on his fingers. How many things, as in projects, that he has going on for him, and he mentions that he has to record 36 cameos. Who is paying for a cameo of Jax and why? I love the concept of cameo, but anyone that I want a cameo from is way too successful to ever be on Cameo. You don't see Oprah on there, Beyonce on there, Oscar winners on there. Like, you see a bunch of reality TV people, and I'm sorry, like, I don't really know any that I could think of off the top of my head that I would be wanting to pay money for. I think it's a cute gift, though. I really do, but I don't know. Cameo. I guess I'm jealous. How about that? I am jealous that nobody wants me to record a cameo. So, anyways, Jack says, quote, "I'm at a point in my life where I've recharged my batteries. I've reassessed my life a little bit. I do it all. I'm an influencer. I'm a father. That's a job." Like, Jax, you're 44 years old, so relax. Yeah, you're a father. Relax. Your son is too. Yeah, it's a job. It's supposed to be a job, but I don't see Jax as an influencer. I see him as a reality star. That's it. With like a social media following. That doesn't make him an influencer. When I think of an influencer, I think of like a vlogger. I think of someone whose entire livelihood is telling people to buy a bunch of crap that really stupid companies overpay them to advertise. But I don't think of Jax as an influencer. Like, he needs to like get off his high horse. Next, we see that Britney's face is bandaged up. I guess she had liposuction on her chin. I don't really remember what she looked like before her surgery, so I can't make a comparison to see how good the liposuction was. All I'm going to say about Britney, and I had a lot more to say on the original version of this episode, but all I'm going to say about Britney is Britney today does not look like the Britney that we met who first appeared on Vanderpump Rules. Britney was very pretty. I'm not saying she's ugly now, but Britney's features come out. The thinner she is, the more her good features are pronounced. And the bigger she is, the more her beauty is like hidden, or a lot of it. And Britney does not look like the woman that Jack started dating. And I don't think like liposuction on her chin is going to get her back to the original Britney. And I mean, it's just interesting. That's all. I'm not going to say very much. Y'all can read between the lines. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna say everything that people are afraid to say. I'm just gonna put a button on that. But I want to talk about how Britney dresses on the show. So Britney was originally like an A cup or B cup before she got her implants, and she's dressing like she's an A cup or B cup because her boobs are just hoisted up to right underneath her neck, and she wears tight tops, or that one tight top in her confessional, like when her testimonial confessional, whatever they call it, on the couch in the valley, and like her boobs are smashed, and it's not sexy when you just smash tits in a top that does not belong where it does not belong, and like where you're wearing something that looks like it's going to rip. She looks ridiculous, and I hope that as the season progresses, she will be wearing different clothes when she gives her little testimonials, because I am so distracted. Like, I'm only looking at her boobs and I'm looking at her like, girl, like, where is your stylist? If you have one, please get one. Next, we meet Kristen's boyfriend, Luke. So, Kristen met Luke at a wedding, and apparently, they had sex behind a tent. And as Kristen says on the show, quote, "The rest is history." Luke is scrawny, he is pasty, he is pale, but then his cheeks are rosy red like he has on blush. He is awkward, he is a nerd, he is serious. I don't get it. And, you know, with Kristen, I feel like the only criteria she has for a man is that he has a pulse, is nice, and is single. And that's not a long enough list. And I think, you know, Luke is just there and was willing to date her, and she's trying to act like they're like some really great couple. And Luke is not Kristen's type. I don't think Tom Sandoval's Kristen's type. I think the people who are more Kristen's type are the boyfriends that we've seen her have after being with Sandoval. So Carter, Alex that we see on the Valley, men who are more like more of the stereotypical tall, somewhat muscular man who you don't want to get in a fight with. But Luke looks like he weighs like 97 pounds. He is scrawny and so weird to me. And I'm like, Kristen, he is a downgrade. You could do better. Next, we find out that Jax hates Luke and me, and he doesn't, and Jax does not think that Luke is the right guy for Kristen, and me and Jax were aligned. So Jax, or sorry, Luke lives in Colorado, but he's living with Kristen for the summer in Los Angeles. Gee, I wonder why. He's there for the paycheck. He's there to film the show. Now we also get to meet Nia and Danny. They are so in love, it's unhealthy. Like, that is what I have in my notes. Nia and Danny are so in love, it's unhealthy. Like, the way he looks at her, their chemistry, their vibe, that's why they have so many kids. They cannot stop having sex. And it's so nice to see a couple this healthy, especially when you have the rest of the couples on the show. I'm so thankful for Nia and Danny now. Nia is a 10 and Danny used to be a 10, but man, he worships her. And I don't ever want to hear about these two breaking up because it will mean that love does not exist. I think they're so into each other and I love it. I'm like, wow. Watching it, just like, it's, oh, man, makes you jealous. Makes you jealous. So then we see that Britney throws Janet a county fair themed birthday party at Britney's house. I am stealing this idea. I've never thought of throwing a county fair party themed party, but watching this be executed, I'm like, this is the best party, especially for the summer. I cannot wait to throw one. It looked like it was a lot of fun. So Jesse tells Jax that Michelle has talked to him about a separation, and before the Valley premiered, it was reported that Jesse and Michelle have split. As a viewer watching Jesse and Michelle with a life coach talking about the relationship, knowing that they broke up post-filming, like it feels very voyeuristic and it makes me uncomfortable a little bit, but at the same time, it is really fascinating. I love watching different couples' stories on TV. Obviously, I'm not the only one. That's why there are so many reality shows and even scripted shows about couples. But Jesse, like, he's an asshole. Like, it's very obvious. But I also think Michelle feeds off of his a-hole energy and she doesn't really try to deal with him. She seems more passive and like she just kind of gives up and accepts that he's an a-hole. And so they're just not acting like they're into each other. They're kind of just, what was the phrase I wanted to use? Anyways, they're just there, you know, and they have such a young child, so they're together and their daughter is really cute, but I hate that it's like I don't see the love between them. It bothers me because I'm sure they were like super fiery, super sexual and into each other, and now it seems like them being together is like a chore, and I feel like it doesn't have to be. It's heartbreaking for me to see, honestly. So then Jax doesn't think that Kristen is ready to have a baby, and Jax, of course, has to announce his concerns in front of absolutely everyone at Janet's party when it's really not his place to be doing that. Like, all he had to do was call Kristen aside and talk to her individually and say, "Look, I don't think you're ready for a baby, and I don't think Luke is someone that you should have a baby with." Instead of telling everyone and embarrassing her and putting everybody in a position where they have to like pick sides, like, should Kristen have a baby or should she not have a baby with Luke? It's nobody's business but Kristen's and Luke's. And I think that what Kristen should do is just tell people she's pregnant, tell people she had a baby. I don't think she needs to be walking everybody along when it comes to her making this decision. She's 40 years old. You know, it's not going to be the easiest for her to get pregnant. I think she should just keep her mouth shut until it happens. Instead of having to deal with people like Jax, like weighing in on her own decision, like, I don't understand how Jax, he has this weird obsession with Kristen, and I don't like it. I feel like he wants to, like, F her on the side. I really don't like it. So then Jax pulls down Dan's swim trunks at Janet's party. Jax goes behind him, pulls down the trunks. Nobody saw Dan's dick. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if his shirt just covered it. And Nia is completely inconsolable and sobbing very hard about it. And it's just an immature thing to do. And I wouldn't even have an issue with what Jax did if Jax did this in front of Nia alone, but there were way too many people around, including cameras. Like, it was a bit much for Jax to do this, and I don't understand why he didn't understand that the man was wearing swim trunks. Like, it was obvious. There's nothing under there. You're going to expose him to everybody at the party. So that was episode one. This episode is that I just re-recorded. It is 5 minutes shorter than my original one. But, you know, I did my best for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and talk to you later. Hello, streamers. Let's get into episode two of The Valley. Are you ready? Is you ready? Are you streaming? Are you streamer? Let's do it. Let us do it. Hopefully this episode will be recorded. It is so traumatizing when you're a podcaster and you record something and it's not recorded. Let me pause this to check. So, in episode two of The Valley, it begins with Jax meeting up with Kristen and he takes her to a steakhouse. So, here's what I'm going to say about this. And part of the reason why I'm going to say this is because Jax had a rant recently. He was out at a bar, maybe his own bar, and he was saying that Vanderpump Rules is fake and scripted, and it's the most scripted reality TV show. Here's what I got to say about those comments. Jax, of course, said that because he was fired from Vanderpump Rules. Now, Kristen and Stassi were fired over their racist prank towards their someone who was on the show. I wouldn't call her a co-star, but Faith Stowers or Sowers or whatever. Now, Jax and Brittany were fired just because Bravo decided to throw them into the mix. They weren't fired for being racist. They were fired. Jax was fired for being an asshole, which was weird because Jax has always been good TV. So Jax has a vendetta against Vanderpump Rules, even though he's been appearing on the show this season. Anyway, for Jax to say that Vanderpump Rules is fake, like all reality TV is fake. All reality TV is a combination of fake scripted dialogue and fake scripted scenes and settings. It is heavily produced. I'm saying that because Jax meets up with Kristen at a steakhouse. Kristen would not be meeting up with Jax right after he embarrassed her and made her cry at Janet's birthday party if cameras were not rolling. If cameras were not rolling, Jax would not be wanting to meet up with Kristen right after he asked her, made an ass out of her and himself. Mostly himself at Janet's party, right? He also would not take her to a steakhouse because it's a well-known fact that Kristen is a vegetarian. So Kristen's saying, "Oh, Jags took me to steakhouse. We've been friends for 16 years. I think she said 16. Like he knows I'm a vegetarian. Producers told him to do that." And so Jax tells Kristen that all of her relationships don't work out. I'm Team Jax on this, just like I'm Team Jax on what he feels about Luke not being the one. But at the same time, like Jax commenting on your relationship, like that has got to be very upsetting. Like criticism coming from Jax is going to be very hard to swallow. And Jax at the party, Janet's party, he told everybody that Kristen was telling Alex, her ex-boyfriend, to come inside of her and leave it to Jax. Leave it to Jax to say that. Like, I mean, Jax just doesn't care. That's why he's great TV. Jax is asking Kristen if Luke is on her lease, and Jax says that men need therapy after dating Kristen. But as I said, like, Jax has some weird obsession with Kristen. It's obvious to me. So Kristen says that Luke is her forever and she wants the guys to treat him better. Kristen said Jax ran into a saint who's willing to put up with him, and she's talking about Brittany, but like, bitch, Luke is not your forever. And if he's your forever, that's pretty sad. That's pretty pathetic. So then Kristen tells Jax that Jesse grabbed her nipple at Janet's party. I'm not surprised. Jesse sucks. I didn't mention him grabbing her nipple in episode one, but Jesse, like, oh my gosh. Jesse seems like such a nightmare, period. Like, as a boyfriend, husband, friend, he seems like an asshole. He seems like a lot of work. So then Kristen tells her scrawny ass boyfriend Luke that Jesse pinched her nipple, and then Luke's head explodes. He is so red in the face all the time. He is super upset. I don't like Luke. Like, the camera adds weight and he still looks bony, like a bony ass bitch. And he's in, like, what is he bringing to the table? You know, there's some people. Here's how it goes with me. It's like some people make me superficial and focus on their looks because their personality is not delivering. Like, they are not bringing it personality wise. Luke seems very boring, very square, very uptight, very serious. And I don't find him attractive. So it's like, no, your personality needs to make you attractive if you're not attractive. You can't be unattractive and boring. Like, pick a struggle. So Jax tells Jesse that he wants to invite Alex, Kristen's ex, to guys' night, and Jesse gets upset about it. Alex shows up to the guys' night, like Jack said he was going to invite him, so he did invite Alex. And Jax tells, and Luke refuses to speak to Alex, and that's because Alex can knock him out by just like, flicking his finger in his direction, in a scrawny ass direction. So then Jax tells Alex, "Weren't you paying for Kristen's mortgage for a while?" So I'm gonna kind of reenact Jax and Alex talking together at guys' night. So I'm gonna be Jax right now. "Weren't you paying for," I'm gonna say Kristen instead of her. "Weren't you paying for Kristen's mortgage for a while?" Alex goes, "I gave her a lot of money and I sold the house for free, and she lived in my house for 6 months for $0. It doesn't matter." I like that you can look at it and be like, "Good luck to you, brother." Alex goes, right now he's in that, or Jax is still talking. Jax goes, right now he's in that, "Oh my God, sex is great. I'm so in love." Alex goes, "I was there." And Jax goes, "I know. I think it's just a matter of time before he comes another casualty." Like, Jax is like too obsessed with what is going on with Kristen's pussy, to be on it, be honest. He's too obsessed with who is coming in it, who should come in it, who shouldn't, who did, their thoughts on it, commenting on people thinking that it was great. It's like, relax. Like, I don't know. Should Jax end up with Kristen? It's just funny. He's too invested. He's way too invested in her love life. So then at Michelle and her husband Jesse's sophisticated dinner party, Kristen says that, or no, it's not the dinner party yet. But anyways, Kristen, they're all there's a get together with everyone, and Kristen says that Janet told Jasmine that Michelle is a Republican and a racist, and chaos ensues. So, Kristen says that Luke is the one who said that. Here's the thing. And I'm not like repeating the string of people who relayed the message to each other. That comment about say the that comment, which is Michelle is a Republican, which means she's probably homophobic and racist or whatever. That sounds like a direct quote that Luke would say, and Luke actually copped to it when Kristen was like, "Oh, remember what you told me about Michelle?" They show footage of that. That is something that a gay man would say. That is a gay man's comment, first and foremost. So I know it came from Luke. Second of all, with everybody getting like very upset about it, people need to remember and think for just 2 seconds, why would Kristen concoct this story? What's in it for her? I hate it when people get so upset when you tell them something, and because they don't like what you have told them, they question the credibility of what you've said. And you're like, why would I say that? So I know Kristen didn't come up with this. It sounds like something that Zach would say. And Zach, and I don't think I've said Zach, maybe I said Luke accidentally. Zach sucks. Like, I've heard Zach before on podcasts. Like, he's very thirsty, and he's annoying. I think he's just, I find him very thirsty, very camera conscious, or cautious, and he doesn't need to be there. He's kind of contributing by being dramatic, but personally, like, I don't need to see him on the show. He's too thirsty, and I don't appreciate that he did not want to, that he was basically denying saying what it's very obvious that he said, because why would Kristen say that? Why? At the same time, like, Kristen should not have said that. Like, Kristen, that was a very, like, 12-year-old girl move. I think you're way too grown to be saying something so potentially damaging that's going to rip apart the group. And honestly, something like that, if you even watch the sequence of events after Kristen was informed that Alex is going to be invited or was invited to guys' night, that is when Kristen said, "Oh, I was told that Michelle's a Republican and a racist or whatever."
And it's like, that has nothing to do with Alex meeting your scrawny, boring ass boyfriend. Like, Kristen really weaponized being told that, and she used it at a time when she was upset that Alex was going to be meeting Luke. And that is also extremely immature. And because she tried to use that as a weapon, that comment, when she was just upset and frustrated about her ex-boyfriend, it kind of doesn't make me feel bad for her that it was not worth it and it backfired, because that is not how you deal with getting upset about something, by like trying to deflect and or trying to just like apply that rage to someone that's nothing to do with anything that you're dealing with. Like, Michelle being a quote unquote possible Republican and a racist had nothing to do with Alex and Luke. So, like, it was really, really lame. And but at the same time, that's why Kristen is reality TV gold. So that's what I got to say about episode two. Now I will record episode three, the recap, even though it is past midnight. So, talk to you soon, streamers. Thanks.